You can take your Bibles tonight, and you can go to Colossians chapter 2, and we're going to start in verse 6. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. And tonight I'm going to be sharing on how we are complete in Him. Complete in Him. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. Okay? And that, we're going to look at tonight how we are complete in Christ. The Him that we're talking about here is Christ Jesus the Lord. And we're implored that we've received Christ Jesus the Lord, and therefore we're supposed to walk in Him. Verse 7, rooted and built up in Him. Okay, so there's other things that we are. We're rooted and we're built up in Christ. And established. We're established in the faith, in believing. As you have been taught, abounding therein, abounding in that believing with thanksgiving. And to abound, the word for abound is where we get the word abundant, right? So if we are abounding, if we're abundant in that faith, we'll be thankful, we'll be rooted, built up, and established. And verse 8 says, beware, watch out, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. So God also issues us a warning. We're to be careful of that. Verse 9, for in Him, in Christ, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, which literally translated means, for in Him dwells the fullness of God in bodily form. Right? The fullness of God in bodily form was Jesus Christ. He always did the will of the Father. He walked perfectly. Verse 10, and you, so we have this guy, Jesus Christ, who represents the fullness of God in bodily form. And then us, verse 10, are complete in Him. So we are complete in Christ. We have Christ in us, and because of that, we are complete. And as Dr. Werwell has shared so wonderfully in the past, this is the rare fourth verb form of the word complete, which means completely, completely, abundantly complete. It's like super complete. It's as complete as can completely get complete, completed. All right? So that's what we are. We are completely, 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 completely complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power, all ruler and authority. Okay? And that's Jesus Christ. To live a more abundant life, we must confess and behave as the Word of God directs us to. That's the key. We want to live an abundant life, we have to confess what the Word says, and we have to behave the way the Word of God tells us to. When our confession and our behavior fails to align with the Word of God, then we end up living below par, and we fail to manifest the more abundant life. And it's that simple. But the Word of God says that we are complete. All right, and so that's the way we should behave. If I confess anything less about myself, if I confess anything about myself that contradicts what the Word of God says I am, then it doesn't make God any less powerful. It doesn't make God any less in me, right? The same amount of God, the same God that created the heavens and the earth is still in me, even if I say He's not. I am simply less in Him, right? That's just the way it works. It doesn't take away what God can do. It doesn't make Him any less powerful, but it limits my ability. If the Word says I'm complete, then I'm complete. I am what the Word of God says I am. If we were singing tonight, we're going to sing that song. I am what the Word of God says I am. And that's up for each one of us to decide is true. Okay? But that's what the Word of God says. And this completeness is absolutely complete. In other words, we don't lack anything. There's nothing that we lack. So here's just a few things that make us or make up our completeness. Go to Colossians chapter 1, verse 12. Maybe back a page or so. Colossians 1, 12. So if we're going to walk out the way that Christ would have us to, the way that God would have us to walk out in Christ in us, we have to believe and confess that we are complete. Colossians 1, 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet. The word meet is worthy or qualified. That's what it means. He's made us worthy or qualified to be partakers, to share in the inheritance, the promise of the saints in light. Okay, so God's made us, he's made us worthy to share in that promise. Verse 13, who has delivered or rescued us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of or by the work of his dear Son. So part of our completeness is that we've been rescued from the power of darkness, right? We've been rescued. And the word translated there means to separate and to bring as citizen, okay? To separate and to bring as citizens. So God's rescued us from darkness and instead has separated us from that darkness and made us citizens of his kingdom by what his Son accomplished. So we are citizens of heaven. We are rescued from darkness. So if there's any darkness going on in your life, you are rescued from it. That is a promise. You don't belong to it. It doesn't have a hold on you. You are rescued. Go to verse 21. Verse 21. And you, this is addressed to you and to me, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled, brought back together that which was severed. We are reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. In his sight. So we are now reconciled. We brought back. And we're holy, and we're unblameable, and we're unreprovable in the sight of God. And that's pretty cool. It doesn't mean that we're without blame, or that we can't be reproved when we're not on the word, but the way that God sees us is holy and without blame, right? He sees us as his kids. He loves us no matter what, right? If we screw up, it's not God that's less than in us, it's us that are less than God, right? But we are holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in God's sight. Go to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. And the reason why that is here in verse 7. Right? We are holy and without blame. When God sees us, he doesn't see somebody who needs reproving. Verse 7, in whom is in Christ, we have redemption through his blood. We're redeemed, bought back. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, of his favor. Right? So our sins are forgiven. That's why we can do that. Right? We can stand before God because our sins are already forgiven. They're already forgiven. God doesn't look at us and see our sin. He looks at us and sees our holiness. He looks at us and sees us as unblameable. And that's pretty cool. That's part of our completeness. So we shouldn't see ourselves as any less than that. Go first to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Right? Sometimes we have a habit of beating ourselves up. Right? It's good to have godly sorrow. That's a great thing. But we don't need to live in condemnation. God sees us as holy. He sees us as unblameable. That's amazing. If God sees us that way, we should see ourselves that way. 1 Corinthians 1:30. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So these are more aspects of our completeness, right? We already saw that we're redeemed. We already saw that we're righteous. We're sanctified, which means we're set apart. And part of our completeness is wisdom. Is wisdom, right? I don't claim to know everything. There's a lot of stuff I don't know about. And we might not feel really smart sometimes. But God, we have wisdom as an aspect of our completeness. Right? God isn't any less in you if you don't think so. But if God says you have wisdom, if God says you are complete, then you better bet on it. Right? We can have great confidence that God's going to show us what we need to know. If we know God's word, we have way more wisdom and understanding than anybody else in this world. Any rocket scientist, any surgeon, anybody else. Because we have the wisdom of God. Go to Romans chapter 8, verse 37. And at the end of the day, that wisdom is going to be more valuable than the physics that you need to be a rocket scientist, or the medical knowledge you need to be a surgeon. Romans 8:37. Nay, in all these things, right, all those persecutions and famines and nakedness and perils of sword, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through who? Him, Jesus Christ, who loved us, right? Jesus Christ loves us, and through him, part of our completeness in him is that we are more than conquerors in any situation. We're victorious in any situation, and we have to remember that. That's part of our completeness. If we're faced with a tough situation in life, we have to remember that we are more than conquerors, right? A conqueror is somebody who wins. A conqueror is somebody who has a victory over what they're conquering. And in all of these things, we are more than conquerors in Christ, right? That gives us the confidence that we need to walk through life with our heads held high, knowing that we are sons of God, knowing that we have, you know, the victory in these situations. So in addition to these promises about who we are, right, these are all things that describe who we are. Our completeness includes what we have. What we have. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So it's always important to remember who we are in Christ. But another side to that is what we have. Right? We are holy. We are redeemed. We are righteous. We do have wisdom. We are more than conquerors. First Corinthians 12, verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. So the things that we have, part of what we have, part of our completeness is the manifestations. Right? The manifestations of the Spirit. We all have Holy Spirit, and therefore we can all manifest it. Verse 8, for to one of the prophets is given the spirit of the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same spirit, to another faith by the same spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. So, distributing is the word dividing there. All of these things are from the same Holy Spirit that you and I all have. We all have it. And it distributes to every person as his own, as he wills. Severally is his own. It distributes to every man his own. You know, his desire to do them and to manifest them. So God's promise is that he's given us Holy Spirit, and therefore he's given us the manifestations of it. So what we have as part of our completeness is the ability to manifest Holy Spirit, to manifest all nine manifestations, right? To do all nine of them. And manifesting Holy Spirit produces fruit of the Spirit. That's another thing that we have. Go to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Right? If the Word of God says that we can operate Word of Wisdom, then we can operate Word of Wisdom. If we don't think so, it doesn't make God any less powerful in our lives. If we don't think so, it doesn't rob us of our Holy Spirit. All it does is rob us of the joy of operating it. Right? So we just have to remember that God's word is true, and it's a promise. And we claim it, we can do it. Galatians 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. So remember, these are things that we have as part of our completeness. When we're looking at this list, let's think about it as things that we have. We have love. We have joy. We have peace. We have long-suffering, which is patience. We have gentleness, which is a helpfulness or a usefulness. Right? We have a place. We have something that we do well. We have goodness. We have faith. We have meekness, and we have temperance. Against such, there is no law. These fruits are only genuine if they follow after the Spirit. Okay? Because they're fruits of what? The Spirit. They're fruits of the Spirit. So they're only genuine, they're only complete if they follow after the Spirit. So if we manifest Holy Spirit, then we produce fruit. And we produce these fruits in our lives. So let's speak in tongues a lot. Let's produce these fruits. These fruits can exist. They can be made manifest in other places, but they're incomplete and they're half-baked if they follow after the works of men, right? Man works really, really hard to find love, to find belonging. And for a period or for a brief time, he might find it. But it ultimately ends up empty. Man works really hard to find peace. He sees all kinds of specialists or takes all kinds of substances to try to find peace. And for a brief moment, he might have it. But ultimately, it fades away because it doesn't follow after the Spirit. Instead, it's all the works of men. So what God's given to us in our completeness is a way to manifest Holy Spirit and to see this fruit come to pass in our lives as we do, in complete fashion. Go to Colossians chapter 2. We're going to go back to what we saw before, because that's important to know, right? That the works of men do not compare to the works of God. And God warns us about this. We saw that before. Colossians 2, verse 4. And this I say, the things that Paul is writing to them, this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. Right? And that's stuff that's contrary to the word of God. It sounds good. It sounds enticing. It sounds wonderful. But it's a beguiling. It's a tricking. It's a trying to trick you. What it is. Verse 8, beware. Watch out. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophies. Again, knowledge of man, wisdom of man, and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world. So all these things come from the same place. From man, from the rudiments of the world, which ultimately is run by the adversary, right? But God tells us to beware of that, be watchful, and not after Christ, right? The world cannot make us complete. No matter what it tries to do, the world cannot make you complete. You can chase after all of the shiny objects that the world dangles in front of you, but you will be disappointed each time you grab one of those things. It'll make you feel real good for a minute, and then you'll realize it's not what you were looking for. It's ultimately empty. Right? And that's why God warns us about it. There's lots of people who tell you lots of different things, make you feel like that's what you're missing. That's what you need to feel whole, to feel complete. And in the end, it's ultimately empty. We're going to close in chapter 3 here of Colossians, verse 1. It says, if you, and the word if there is the word since, because, since you, then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are where? Above. Right? In contrast to the world that we've been warned about. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, not of the things of this world. Right? Your affection is the things that you really care about, what your heart longs for. And people get tricked into longing after that stuff in the world, thinking that's what's going to make them complete. God says, watch out. Set your affection on the things above. Verse 3, for you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. So there's a part of you that is dead. That's that old man nature, right? Your life, your true life, is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, he returns, then shall you also appear with him, with Christ, in glory. Right? So the you in verse 4 is the real you. That's the true you. Not the dead in trespasses and sins you, but the spiritual you. The completely, completely, completely complete you. Right? That's when you will finally grasp the unfathomable extent of our completeness. When you see the Father in glory at the return, that's when we'll really understand it. But until then, we have to trust and believe what the Word of God says about us, and that we are what the Word of God says we are. And we'll be able to see that great fruit in our lives as we do.